Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's that time again, another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. This week, we are celebrating our 150th episode, 150 of these over nearly 3 years, and we are grateful to those who tune in each week. I'm your host, Beam Weeks, and with me, as usual, is my co-host, Stephen Gies. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
Thrilled to be here. How about you?
I am doing fine. As a matter of fact, this afternoon, I was a guest on the Book World The Great Escape podcast, hosted by C.J. Peterson and Michael Scott Clifton. We've had both of those fine authors on this program as well. And I just want to give them a shout-out and say thank you very much for having me on. Theirs is a video podcast, which was kind of fun and a little different than what we're used to, although I've done a few of those video podcasts. And if you want to find the link to that episode, it is on freshinkgroup.com. Go to podcasts, and it's there in the podcast. And you will also find Stephen Gies on there. He was their guest last week. So thank you again to CJ and Michael. Big appreciation.
All right. So we've got a book out on Vella by George Dismukes. This is Kindle Vella, and it's called Paradise My Prison. It's a suspense thriller. And this is our first time trying Vella, and it seems to be going pretty well so far. So if you're interested in checking that out, get over to Amazon Kindle and search for Paradise, My Prison by George Dismukes. The first three chapters are free. And then after that, they'll give you a couple of hundred credits if you're a new user. And then you can buy many more chapters as well. But even if you were paying for those credits, it's just, you know, cents. So it's not very expensive at all. So go check that out. Make sure you give each chapter a thumbs up after you read it and leave a comment as well. So that's Paradise, My Prison by George Dismukes, available now exclusively on Amazon Kindle Vella.
Yeah, and I've been following along, and it's a really cool story. Also out is The Chair, Volume 3 by Robert McKenzie. That is out and available, and he's hard at work on Volumes 4 and 5 as well. So grab that, and if you haven't read Volumes 1 and 2, those are available as well. So get over to wherever it is you buy your books and grab a copy. Listeners, if you want to be part of tonight's show, you got a question or comment for the guest, you can do it two ways. That's Twitter or by calling in, and here's how you can do those.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest, or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet, and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
Hey.
All right.
We've got another book that's coming out the day after tomorrow. It's in pre-sale right now, so you can still get your advance copy ordered. But like I say, it'll be released the day after tomorrow, so everybody who did those pre-release orders will have their print copies shipped or their digital copies digitally delivered on Friday as well. What is this book, you say? Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament by Dr. Janice D. Toney. It's a chapter book that's beautifully illustrated, and it's about kids and an older guy who's got some wisdom to share and some bullying and hijinks ensue. It's a very cool book. Check that out. It'll be out the day after tomorrow, but you can order your copies now. Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament by Janice D. Toney.
Yeah, some great illustrations in that book, too. So if you got youngsters, grab a copy. As we remember, a history of the Women's Relief Corps of Beaufort, South Carolina, by Najma Thomas is currently available as well. As a matter of fact, Najma is next week's guest, so be sure to tune in and learn all about this historical group and what they've gone through and what they're doing today, and just a great look at history. So tune in next week and have your questions ready for Najma Thomas. And if you want to know more about these books and other books that we've got in the pipeline, we have a newsletter, and here's how you can subscribe to that.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Inquiry with our weekly digital newsletter. New releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
Okay, so let's look at some print bestsellers, Fresh Ink Group publications that are out there. Killing Trees, Moving Copies in Print Editions. Top 25, we'll run through them real quick. 25, 24, and 23 are all Mac McDowell Missions, paperback by Robert G. Williscroft. 25 is Operation Icebreaker. 24 is Operation Ivy Bells. 23 is Operation Arctic Sting. Those are all Mac McDowell Missions by Williscroft. In the slot above that, As We Remember, A History of the Women's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina by Najma Thomas. Above that, a David Carroll book. And we just submitted another David Carroll book that's full of humor, and we're looking forward to putting that out in the coming weeks here. This one is Hello Chattanooga, Famous People Who Have Visited the Tennessee Valley. That book is 600 and something pages, chock full of historical photos, facts, information, anecdotes, cool stories, and the proof of who's been into Chattanooga. Next, yeah. Above that, we've got J. Ash Looney, The Red Poppy, Joseph Stalin at Home. That's a play. Above that, Ellie Collins's Daisy Bold and Beautiful. That's the paperback edition.
Go, Ellie!
The first of her Greek mythology chapter books for young adults. Above that, J. Ash Looney again, Figuratively Speaking, Thesaurus of Expressions and Phrases. Above that, How to Teach Driving, Behind the Wheel, Lesson by Lesson, The Instructor's Edition by Kenneth Lindquist. Now we have Dr. Helen Burrell's American Agony, The Opioid War Against Patients in Pain. That's the paperback edition. Above that, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Florida, also the paperback edition. How to Paint an American by Andrew McGregor. That's a cool novel. You like that one, Beam?
I do. I edited that, and that was a great read. So if you're into really cool stories, go out and grab a copy.
And above that, we have The Chair, Volume 3, 7, 8, and 9 by Robert McKenzie. That's the paperback edition. Now we're getting into the top sellers here. Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament, paperback edition. Still in pre-sale until the day after tomorrow. Get your copy ordered now, people. Don't dawdle. Above that, we've got Sassy Discovers the AME Church, and that's by B.A. Johnson. That's the first of the two Sassy chapter books that are beautifully illustrated by Fresh Ink Group artist Anique. Now, above this one, Jerry Pate will be happy to hear, Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat, has jumped back in at the number 6 position. So after dropping out for a week or two there, submarine sales are picking up again. That means those print editions at the retailers are continuing to sell out, and the retailers are placing orders with the distributors. So Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat, that's 60 chapters of stories, true stories by a veteran submariner who lived it and has the stories to tell. Above that, speaking of living it and having stories to tell, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. Who's that by, Beam?
That's by Mark Herndon, former drummer of the country music supergroup Alabama. Played drums for him for 28 years.
Yeah.
What a cool story to tell.
Yeah, and that's in the top 5 print bestsellers from Fresh Ink Group.
Wow.
Number 4 slot. Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret, the paperback edition of the second book in the Sassy series by B.A. Johnson. That brings us to our top 3. Number 3, the paperback edition of Shipwrecked and Rescued, The City of Bangor by Larry Jorgensen. Number 2, the hardcover edition. I like seeing hardcovers in the top couple of slots. This one's As We Remember, A History of the Women's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina, Dr. Najma Thomas. That is in our number 2 slot. Now, that's a fairly niche regional kind of book with, you know, you would think of a smaller audience than something mass market or widespread, but look how well that book is doing. So bravo, Najma, and all you women who are involved in that. That leads us to number 1. Now, who might be in that number 1 slot? Robert McKenzie, The Chair, Volume 3, 7, 8, and 9, And it's the hardcover edition of a novel. The hardcover edition of a novel is the number one print Fresh Ink Group bestseller this week. Congratulations, Robert, and the rest of you people in the top 25.
Yeah, congratulations. And speaking of How to Paint an American, that is out. It is available. Go grab a copy. I cannot stress it enough that this was a fantastic read and just a cool story. It's about a man that comes to America from Eastern Europe, and he wants to find out what it means to be an American. And he runs into some sketchy people, and he runs into some people that truly look after him, and just a really cool book. So Andrew McGregor's How to Paint an American, available now at Amazon and all book retailers around the world. If you missed an episode, we got 150 of these now. We have an extensive archive. And here's how you can find those old episodes, or you can find a favorite episode that you haven't listened to in a while. They're all right here.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indy archive on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word.
Now on Kindle Vella, Charlie Flint awakens from a deep sleep and finds himself alone on a tropical beach surrounded by a palm tree jungle and exotic animals. He cannot remember who he is or anything about his life. First, he must find food and build shelter and protect himself from hidden dangers. As his memory gradually returns, it reveals what a very flawed person he is. A man who made too many mistakes, made too many enemies. The implications of the truth are staggering. How did Charlie get there? And will he save himself? Paradise My Prison is the riveting new suspense thriller from retired Hollywood scriptwriter George Dismuse. Published by Fresh Ink Group, Paradise My Prison is on Kindle Vella with 3 free episodes. Paradise My Prison by George Dismuse.
All right. Yeah, cool story there. I've been following along in Vella. It's an interesting concept, Vella, and we're just getting used to it. So get over there and if nothing else, check out the first 3 chapters and go from there. All right. How about we bring in tonight's guest? Kyler Merrill is an elementary teacher in Oklahoma by day and a comic creator by night. He is the founder of Foreign Press Comics, a small press publisher dedicated to building a community of creators and readers through story. He is also the writer of comics like Valkyrian, Outlaw Country, and his webcomic, Peter the Fishtronaut. When he's not making comics, you can probably find him cooking, watching TV, or trying not to be killed by one of his 2 cats. So with that, welcome to the show, Kyler Merrill.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Hi, Kyler.
So you are an elementary school teacher by day in Oklahoma. Are you a lifelong Oklahoma resident, or have you lived elsewhere? And if so, where have you lived?
I lived for a while. I'm from Oklahoma originally. Like, that's just where my whole family's from here, both sides. But I grew up, spent most of my time growing up overseas on a military base. My dad's a teacher for the Department of Defense, and so I lived in Japan for 13 years. But every summer we'd come to Oklahoma here in Ada, where my grandparents lived, and so that's always just been my home base. And so it's not that I'm not unfamiliar with Oklahoma, but I did grow up somewhere else. So it's a bit of a yes and no situation.
Well, that's pretty cool. Japan, that's kind of different.
Yeah. I mean, it was still a U.S. base, so you know, I don't really speak any Japanese. I mean, I can say, you know, my please and thank yous and excuse me and, you know, can I have one of these and that kind of stuff. But more than that, it's out of my wheelhouse.
Ah.
So what kind of a kid were you, Kyler? Were you into reading and writing at an early age, or were you interested in other pursuits for a while and kind of came to writing and comic work at a later age?
I always liked to draw. I like to, you know, not seriously, I just like to doodle. And then I also liked to, I always liked to write as well. Like I remember in third grade, we had these notebooks that like we had to keep adding. We got to write whatever we wanted. We had like our writing time for the week or whatever. And I like had this whole long story that I was adding chapters to and stuff. Now I look back and like think about like, I mean, I can't believe my teacher had to read through all that because she would write notes on each one. But, you know, looking back as a teacher now, I can probably tell you that she wrote the same seven notes and just rotated between them. Yeah. That's what I do. But like, good job. You did great. Awesome. And then back to, good job. You did great. And I rotate through. You know, I'm not that creative. I'm sorry.
But, yeah, we all owe the guy who created the smiley face, too.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. But no, I got into writing and wanted to pursue it more as a career. Either in high school, I wasn't sure if I wanted to write as a like a creative writer or as a journalist. But I knew I wanted to write in some way. And then in college, I kind of just decided I like comics. I've always kind of wanted to make comics, so just bite the bullet, just go for it and try it. And so that kind of just had a, you know, a natural progression to where I'm at today.
Cool. And okay. And then speaking of college, that kind of segues into my next question. Where did you go to college?
I went to college for the first 2 years to the University of Louisiana, Monroe. I was going to be a kinesiology major. And I was in Louisiana, like I said, for 2 years, and I just wasn't great mentally. You know, I'm naturally a very anxious person, you know, have social and generalized anxiety. And so it was very hard for me to make a lot of friends, and that did not do very well for my mental health. And so I had to move back here to Oklahoma, to here in Ada, where my grandparents lived. And it's there's a little university here called East Central University. And that's where I became a teacher and, you know, changed my major to education and started to actually pursue education. And that's when I graduated from here as well. So.
Now, with your father being a teacher, did that inspire you as well, or was this just your own decision?
I really don't think so. I maybe a little bit subconsciously, just like having been around it, but it wasn't like a, you know, my dad does this, so I want to do this thing, at least not consciously for me. And like I said, originally I did want to do something different, but
yeah.
I just kind of, I don't know what happened, honestly. I really don't. What happened to make me be like, I'm going to become a teacher, but I just kind of decided that, and that's just what I've grown to love. And, you know, now it's just praying that I don't, you know, burn out before, you know, I really set my teeth.
Well, what grade do you teach?
I taught third for a year, and I just got done with my third year teaching. It was my second year teaching fifth grade, but I am starting a new job this school year teaching second. Just the fifth grade just wasn't for me.
Crazy kid?
It really wasn't. Yeah, it's not crazy, but also just, you know, kids don't care, and it's hard to, you know, keep I'm not even talking about like keep their attention, like, you know, just getting them to focus on something, which that is hard, but it's like getting them to care about being in school because parents don't seem to care, you know, and it's just a lot of struggles from multiple angles. And it didn't help that my building that I taught in was a fifth and sixth grade center. It was, so there were no like younger kids. And so these kids acted very mature. Obviously they weren't that mature, but you know, we were having to talk about, I don't know exactly what all happened or if anything did happen, but we were having to, you know, teachers were having to talk about rumors that so-and-so kids were having sex, and we had vaping problems at school. There was supposedly, this is what a kid told me, and it could be, you know, no idea whether that's true or not, but there was supposedly a bottle of alcohol on campus at one point, a bottle of vodka hidden in the bathroom. And it's just, these kids are just, it's crazy, and the parents don't care. And so And some people, that's just what they, some people actually, you know, they dig that, and that's their thing, that's their niche, but it's just not mine. I need to be back down with the little kids, with the babies. Not the actual babies. I can't do that. But, you know, just being back with the younger kids is where I need to be.
Yeah, that sounds crazy, because I remember when I was in fifth grade, and nobody was thinking about sex and drinking and things like that at that point. I mean, it was, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a different era. Yeah, it was the 1970s.
And it does have a little bit to do with, you know, the socioeconomic status of the area that I live in. And, you know, just it's a relatively rural community. And so there's a lot of other factors as well that, you know, kind of lead to that. Plus, you know, generational factors, just the way that society is changing, things like that. But, yeah, it's just a whole different situation than what I grew up with even. That wasn't a terribly long time ago.
So, Kyler, do you have any kids of your own?
I do not. I have two cats and a dog. That's about it. That's all I can
handle right now. The cats that are plotting to kill you. I remember those.
Yes. One of them is plotting to kill me. The other one, if he kills me, it's just by accident or cuteness. I'm not sure. But the other one, I'm convinced, is plotting murder.
That sounds like cats. I've had a lot of cats.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've been getting texts from one of your cats, and I didn't quite understand it. Distract him during the podcast. We're ready to move. I don't know what's going on here.
She's lucky. I'm keeping an eye out for her.
So, Beam, I think we need to roll a commercial here pretty soon.
All right. We can roll one right now. We are talking with Kyler Merrill, a comic creator. And if you have questions or comments, give us a call. That's 516-453-9902. 516-453-9902. Or shoot us a comment on Twitter using the hashtag Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah, the order of those numbers does matter.
A grand epic saga by Robert McKenzie. The Chair series spans centuries, touching the lives of 22 generations of related mothers and daughters, their stories witnessed by a simple pine chair. Resolute, strong, loving, and fiercely protective, these women must strive to pass their values to new generations in a world of racism and sexism, politics, scandal, fashion, even the rise and dominance of baseball. They live in privilege and poverty with faith and despair, relishing every moment of love, even as they suffer abiding grief. Volume 1, Lightning, Thunder, and Glory, spans the 1600s through World War I, while Volume 2, Faith, Hope, and Love, follows these women's descendants into modern times and beyond. In Volume 3, 7, 8, and 9, the chair flashes back to pre-Civil War America, featuring a woman from the Second Mayflower, her daughter, the black market Irish lace importer, and a Canadian World War I fighter pilot. A blend of history and philosophy told through satire and parody, the story of the chair could be found in some old trunk in any dusty old attic, but McKenzie breathes it alive with riveting tales that span the real and the imagined. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, the Chair series by Robert McKenzie is available worldwide in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook editions.
All right. So get out there and grab your copy. Kyler, what do you do to unwind when you're coming out of the school, the kids have driven you crazy? Do you have any hobbies and interests? How do you spend your downtime?
Getting off work, I try to nap, if I'm being honest. Try to just fall asleep if I can.
Well, that's a hobby.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. But other than that, no, it's mostly it's a lot of watching TV, just because between making comics and work, it's a lot, so just, you know, need something to relax. But exercising is a big one for me. Which I've, you know, had to take a break from here recently. But then cooking is obviously based on, you know, kind of the book I'm kind of working on at the moment. Cooking is kind of a big one for me as well.
Okay.
All right, we got some comments over on Twitter. Verwayne Greenhoe says that he went and found your appearance this afternoon, Beam, and he thought you did an excellent job. He says, I enjoyed your appearance. I also went back and found Stephen's appearance. So cool. Checking out that archives. And Joe Congel says, hi, everyone. Nice job this afternoon, Beam. Look at that. You're a celebrity.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah. So you want to take Joe's question for Kyler?
Yeah, Kyler, Joe Congel has a question for you. He says, hi, Kyler. Have you ever had the opportunity to do any work for Marvel or DC? If not, would you want to?
Yeah, those are fly-by-night places.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Not there yet. But you know, I think I would like to, but as I've gotten older, which I'm not that old, I'm only 26, but as I've just matured in my creative journey, I've kind of realized that I don't necessarily know if I want that in the same way that I did when I started. You know, cause when I started, it was like, I want to have a run on the Avengers or something crazy like that. But as I've gotten older and kind of realized the way that the industry works and just how comics is a never ending, like a lot of times called a never ending second act. So like, I don't really know that I would want to be like, this Tyler is the new Batman writer. He's going to be the next guy to write Superman. But I think it'd be cool to have my name on a book published by one of them, even if it's just like a one shot or like a little, you know, mini series that isn't really a big deal, you know, just a small side character. Just like that would make me feel like I had made it in a way, like I, you know, had my name on like a real thing would be good. But I don't think I want to like be a main writer there, like that.
Well, how long have you been doing the comics?
I've been making comics since about 2017. When I was in college, I'd always kind of been interested in making comics or just creating in general. And I'd always been scared to put my art out there was the big thing that was holding me back. And it just kind of hit me. I just saw it somewhere, I guess. I can't give you the exact quote, but basically the idea is that, you know, someone's going to like your work, but also people aren't. Your work is going to appeal to somebody. It may not be everybody's cup of tea. It may not be, you know, going to be the next thing like I was just talking about, but if somebody's going to be into it. And so that was kind of enough for me to feel comfortable putting myself out there like that. And so I started with just some little short comics. You know, I thought I was going to build the next cinematic universe or whatever. Clearly that hasn't happened yet. But I started doing just superhero little shorts that I made characters for. And then that evolved to me writing a one shot. That's, you know, come to starting a little mini series, doing a couple of anthologies. And so it's kind of evolved from there.
As a literary art form, comics are continuing to go strong. I mean, very strong. In fact, they've expanded into graphic novels and some other uses of comics to help illustrate stories now as well. So it's an easy entry type of literary story for very young people as well. And it's comfortable. I mean, it's visually appealing.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's got very short snippets of description and dialogue usually. And the pictures tell the story, which is very cool. So, yeah, you're always going to have an interest. There's always going to be an audience there. Like Verwayne Greenhill on Twitter talking about it. He says, my son spent his first 6 years in the military in the Air Force before dropping out to get his degree. When he went back in, he was in the Army, currently as a colonel. He did a steady comic strip for the base newspaper that was based on weird space creatures. All right.
There you go, yeah.
So there's always going to be the interest, you know. No matter how old you are, your eyes get attracted by that comic. And then, you know, you stick around and see what it says.
All right. We have Dr. Helen on the phone. Stephen, you want to bring her in since the next question is the one that she likes to ask?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So we are going to... Bring her in. Hello, Dr. Hallin.
Hello.
Hello.
You already asked my first question, which is how did he get started writing, you know?
Okay, well, we left the next one to you.
I would like to know what his process is, the ideas. He already touched on it, but a little deeper.
Okay. As far as where my ideas come from?
Yeah, and how you work with them.
Yeah.
Do you like to burn incense, chant, stand on one foot, face east? What's your deal?
No, I don't really have a process like any ritual or anything like that. It's just kind of, I have a very, my brain is, you know, undiagnosed ADD, so it's going 100 miles an hour.
Oh, that's hard. That's difficult. Yeah.
Yeah, so my brain's kind of going 100 miles an hour at all times. And so it's whenever I have an idea, it might be like from a show or from whatever it is that I'm doing, or just kind of if I'm listening to a podcast and they're talking about something, I can kind of like my brain just starts to kind of form something. And usually what I'll do is I'll start with just writing that it's usually in a Google Doc. I'll just like open a new Google Doc and like if my new prompt is like, I don't know, alien, whatever my idea is, I just put it in there, like one or two sentences, and I kind of just let it sit, and if I come back to it, then it was something that was worth coming back to. If I don't see it until 2 years later, and I'm like, what is this idea? And I just figure, hey, that wasn't anything good, let's just ignore it and move on. But, my writing process, I start with a story circle, which comes from the Joseph Campbell, you know, hero's journey stuff. But Dan Harmon kind of, who wrote, who's the creator of Community and one of the creators of Rick and Morty, he has a story circle that he kind of put out there as part of, I can't remember what the organization was called. But anyway, it kind of just breaks it down into 8 parts. And that's kind of been the thing that I've always used. And so it just breaks the story into 8 pieces, like basically the hero's journey, and then I expand those. And then I kind of do a snowflake method from there, which if you don't know what that is, if anyone listening doesn't know what that is, it's just, you know, I take each point and I expand those into 2 or 3 points, and I expand each of those into 2 or 3 points until I've fully built out everything that I have going on, in which case I turn it into a script. And then I drop it. But usually since I am the artist I'm the writer and the artist on a lot of my stuff, it means my scripts can be pretty sparse. I don't have to be, you know, really verbose and put a lot of effort into them, because since I'm drawing them, I know what it's supposed to look like in my head, especially since I'm a very visual thinker. And so it's good for me to be able to, you know, when I'm writing, I'm like, okay, I know I don't have to, if I was writing for another artist, I might have to, you know, clarify, hey, I want this shot from overhead, X character is reaching towards Z character and they're grabbing them or whatever. But in my head, I can just be like, okay, I know what that looks like. I don't have to write all that out. I just know instinctively in my head because it's my story. I'm the only person involved here, you know? So, and then that's pretty much it. Then it goes to draw, then I draw it, and then it goes to lettering, and then we're off to the races from there.
Somebody else does the lettering?
No, that's me.
Okay. You do that. Hand letter or do you use fonts?
No, I use Photoshop. Technically, I'm supposed to use Illustrator, but I don't. I can't afford that.
Amazing.
I just do it all.
Guys, that's amazing what he does with the ADHD, that he is able to do all of that. It's amazing.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
Very great. I want to see that work.
Yeah, it's all on the website. FormPresidentComics.com.
Congratulations.
There's a nice sample in today's newsletter, too.
Yes, there is. I think the one in there is from our most recent book that's crowdfunding right now. So, and that's something I'm really excited about.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Dr. Hallin. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Always good to hear from you.
We hope you stick around and listen to the rest of the show.
I am sticking.
Okay.
All right. So we have a new commercial for Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marvel Tournament. I think we should roll it.
All right.
When Aaliyah and Kehlani go from having fun to tussling, Big Mama puts it to rest, as fighting and bullying are plain wrong. Later, Big Daddy tells the girls about the photo of a man on the mantle. His name is Daddy Yo-Yo, he says, telling the girls about his late grandfather, who watched out for all the children in his neighborhood. Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament is about a group of boys having fun until Evil Eye Bucket Smith tries bullying his smaller rival, young Chucky Fry. Daddy Yo-Yo won't stand for it. He knows that looking out for kids also means teaching about pride, self-worth, and caring for others. From Fresh Ink Group and author educator Janice D. Toney, the illustrated full-colored chapter book, Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament is out now. Grab and share your copy in hardcover, softcover, or all ebook formats. Find out who the real winners are as we all learn the wisdom of Daddy Yo-Yo.
All right. That book is going to be released the day after tomorrow. Get over there and pre-order your copy now, people. Digital, hardcover, softcover, scratch and sniff, you name it. We've got copies of it out there for sale. Get yours.
Yeah. Now, I see over on Twitter, Ver Wayne Greenhoe has actually shared one of Kyler's creatures over there. He calls this one Flesh Larva.
Oh.
Is that what you heard, Kyler?
How lovely.
Oh, no, not mine. No, I'm not sure which one.
That's not yours?
That's not one of mine.
Okay. Well, that was the one
I think that's his son. He was talking about his son earlier, so I think that's his son.
Oh, okay. Was that? Maybe that's it. Maybe that's one of his
son. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. My bad.
Looking fellow. So Kyler, let's get into your comic bona fides a little bit more too. At some point when you were young, you discovered comics. What were your favorites, your earliest favorites? I mean, were you one of those that got hooked into the superheroes or the story kind of comics, or what got you?
I mean, I think that superheroes were probably the first thing I was exposed to, but they weren't necessarily my forte. I wasn't like a As a kid, I wasn't a huge comics guy. You know, it's one of those things I knew they existed, and, like, I read Captain Underpants in school. I read some of the other graphic novels that my school library had, which weren't that many at the time. I read most of Bone by Jeff Smith because that was also the library, and that's definitely not a superhero book. But in high school, I had the DC did the New 52, which was their line-wide reboot. They launched 52 new titles of all those, and they were meant to be like a perfect jumping on point for new readers, like, because they completely rebooted the entire storyline. So if you had never read, you know, Superman, this is Superman reinvented for the modern age of time. They've since gone back on this, but as part of that movement, they had The Flash came out as part of and the artist in that book was named Francis Manapul, who is an awesome artist, awesome creator. He's written some other things, wrote Trinity for a while, had a run of Detective, and now he's doing some other stuff. But anyway, Francis Manapul's artwork was kind of the thing that really stuck with me, because to me, prior to that point, comics were either like very campy looking Bam Pow 60s Adam West, or they were
exactly
like very
what I was
90s.
Thinking. Bam Pow.
Exactly. That very, you know, those big sound effects and things like that.
Yeah.
And then my other vision of comics was kind of the 90s extreme women with, you know, very revealing outfits on, dudes with, you know, huge muscles, you know, very gritty kind of thing. And so Francis Manapul's artwork wasn't either one of those. It's much more streamlined. It's much more dynamic. And the way it's colored and everything is just really, really awesome. And it just really stuck with me. And that was the series that I kept up with. It was the first comic I ever fully collected. And so I just stuck with it, and then from there I got more and more into comics and got comics here and there, and then especially in college is when I, you know, because I was living in the States, I had access to a comic shop and access to, you know, my own Amazon account, And so I just bought a bunch of, comics. You know, as I started to collect more books, I started to, you know, actually follow along with things, go like pick up my books on Wednesdays, like a real comic fan. You know, and I got into the movies, and now lately, the last 3 or 4 years, I've kind of expanded and gotten more into non-superhero comics, and I would kind of say that that's more where I'm at, is more independent and more just not superhero books, because I feel like they're a better medium, because superheroes are just kind of, if you want a full story, superhero comics are not the place to go, because like, not to get too deep in the weeds on a whole other thing, but like, you know, Batman's never going to actually stop being Batman. It's always going to be DC and Warner Brothers or Discovery's profits are going to always bring him back. It's never going to really evolve or become something different. And so that's kind of like I was talking about earlier, why superheroes and mainstream comics have kind of lost favor to me, because I've like, realize there's not as much that you can do as you can with more independent, more out there concepts.
Well, as you got more and more exposed to the variety of stuff that's out there, because, I mean, you started out with just a couple of things that caught your eye, and it sounds like that mm-hmm. visual element was very important for you. Mm-hmm. And then you started discovering other comics, other subjects, other writers, other artists, stuff like that. As you see more and more of what kind of stuff is being done out there, that cutting edge stuff, is it influencing your style? Is your art changing and moving in directions, or are you just refining a particular look, or do you have a variety of looks that you use?
I mainly have kind of the one style that I do, and it's just kind of learning to, you know, figure things out about it. Like recently I had an epiphany of sorts where I realized that one of the things that really holds my artwork back and makes it look very flat is that my lines are all basically the same thickness throughout the whole thing. And so when lines have like varying thicknesses, it really adds some weight to different areas of your artwork. And so I've kind of, you know, I'm noticing things like that and making an effort to really work on them. And just the other day I was trying, not a different style, but I was kind of trying to do my style, but a little bit inspired by this creator, Daniel Warren Johnson, who does very dynamic, very action packed things. And so I was kind of trying to emulate him a little bit more. But the only other style that I've kind of have is the one that I've recently developed. It's for my little webcomic, Peter the Fishtronaut. That's just, it's just a very simple, you know, it's just like a normal newspaper comic strip type of style. So, you know, not everything is anatomically correct all the time. Some things are over-exaggerated. Things are a lot simpler and things like that. And so that's one of the reasons that I really like working on that book or that project, is that it lets me work in a much simpler style and doesn't make me, have to, put as much time. But I do experimental things every once in a while as well, like for the comics from the kitchen, the Clone Soup, that my story for that is done all in gouache, which is basically like watercolors. It was done digitally, but still it was done in a much looser, more painterly style. And so I do like the ability to mess around with things like that, and mess around with coloring and themes and things that let me, that can alter the story that I'm trying to tell.
Hmm. Does any of your inspiration for looks and styles and stuff come from outside of comics? You know, like for example, 30, 40 years ago, movies tended to have a certain look that was kind of homogenous. Now, even filmmakers are all striving for that new look. Like Wes Anderson's got a movie coming out next week, for example. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is look at a Wes Anderson movie for five seconds, and you know it's a Wes Anderson movie. Because he's got mm-hmm. that look, and he's refined it and developed it and whatnot. And that kind of look, that would translate into a comic artist, you know, doing the graphic version of those kinds of stories. So mm-hmm. I guess what I'm asking is, it would be obvious for you to get inspiration from the other people who are out there doing the comics. Are you seeing stuff that's outside of comics that you're finding inspiring and are giving you some ideas?
I mean,
Yeah, we're playing gotcha this week. Questions you're not expecting.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just trying to think about it. Like, I'm a little bit kind of – it's outside of comics, but, like, something I'm kind of wanting to explore more. I haven't really had much ability to do it yet, but hopefully I will as I'm, you know, move up closer to the city and more of a metropolitan area, is to work more in, like, the fine art side of things. And to, you know, kind of work on my anatomy and things like that. And just through, you know, I'm considering there's a class I might take or just, you know, just sitting down and drawing more. But it's not, definitely not all just comics. You know, I do paint and things like that, not very well all the time, but I do things outside of comics. But I don't know that I would say that they really carry over or that I'm even looking for inspiration out elsewhere. You know, if anything, I've kind of lately been trying to look at what's the word I'm looking for? Blocking different, like, shots in movies, like shots that really look really visually interesting. And so maybe, and some of those are things like I might keep in the back of my head, like I'm watching the 2009, the J.J. Abrams Star Trek right now. And not right now, it's paused. But right before this, I was watching it. I paused. I'm going to go back to it later. But anyway, so, like, there's a couple shots in there that I was like, oh, okay, that's really cool. And, like, I'm working on something that might involve some aliens and some spaceships and things like that. And so, like, that would maybe even fit there, you know. And just kind of things like that is maybe all I look for. But that's, like I said, a relatively new progression for me in my art.
All right. Where can people buy your comics?
Most of my comics are available at foreignpresscomics.com. That's where you can buy them all. But if you want, actually, if you want any of our comics that are available for purchase, you can buy them right now as part of our Zoop campaign. We have Zoop, which, if I don't know if you or your listeners are familiar with Zoop, probably not, but it's a very comics-centered crowdfunding platform like Kickstarter, but for comics and comic-adjacent projects only. And so that's kind of, we have a book on there right now that is currently funding, and as an add-on for all of those for that project, you can get access to, you can buy any of our books, you can buy them digital, or you can buy them in physical form, or you can just buy them in a bundle. But that's kind of where I'm trying to direct people right now. But if there's any of our books you want, you know, you can find them all on the Zoop page. Because anything they buy, even if it's not the Comics from the Kitchen book that we have going on, it's it'll still go to support that campaign.
Well, do you have plans to offer your books through some of the more traditional channels, like Amazon, for example?
No. Not really Amazon. I used Kindle Direct for a while before Kindle Direct changed their. First of all, it just wasn't really working for me. I wasn't really able to sell, and I was kind of focusing things on more of a just on the comics audience as opposed, because there's so many different routes that I could go to promote my stuff to really push my work, and I found that it was kind of working for me better to focus on my comics audience and focus them to places like Comixology, which is now defunct after Kindle Direct changes that happened. And now on things like Global Comics, where you know, you can read a lot of digital comics on there. But not really. I do have some comics that are in comic shops and a few small bookstores, mostly local things. But you know, I do reach out to other shops outside my area just to kind of, you know, reach out to other people. And I go to conventions as well. So I don't know if that would be considered a more traditional, route, but.
I would think the comics audience would especially like discovering new artists, new writers, new series, things that, are a little bit more obscure and maybe even collectible.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Kyler, we're gonna want to talk about your Kickstarter campaign too, but we need to roll a couple of commercials here, and we'll be back with Kyler Merrill Call in, people, 516-453-9902. Ask a question, make a comment, hurl accusations, whatever you want to call for.
In the wake of September 11th, a man who grew up with his mother in Eastern European brothels comes to New York City searching for an adventure, identity, and home. The USA has other plans for him, though. It'll give him what he wants for a price. A series of imposed quests drives our beleaguered hero through America's dark heart, from New York to Boston to a Walmart on the outskirts of Atlanta, where he finds and spreads damnation and salvation while working the night shift. Published worldwide by Fresh Ink Group, grab your copy of Andrew McGregor's How to Paint an American in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. How to Paint an American.
As We Remember documents the remarkable story of a Women's Relief Corps chapter in Beaufort, South Carolina. The WRC is a national organization established as an official auxiliary to the Grand Army of the Republic in 1883. A Women's Relief Corps post has existed in the city of Beaufort in various forms since 1892. While much of the record of the early Beaufort Corps was passed through the esteemed oral history tradition, in 2019, members commissioned a study to ensure their story would be documented in print form and told for many generations to come. That story centers African American women as lead agents of change and co-creators of the patriotic spirit, an important theme given that historically, the national WRC was primarily white-led. And in southern localities like Beaufort, completely segregated. Beyond documenting the members' experiences, this story is compelling in the larger context of our nation contending with changing notions of its national identity and definitions of patriotism. Written and compiled by Najma Thomas, PhD, and proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, this fascinating history is available in all ebook formats. Or grab your keepsake edition in full-color softcover or laminate hardcover. Or listen to the audiobook narrated by the author, As We Remember, A History of the Women's Relief Corps in Beaufort, South Carolina.
All right. That's Najma Thomas. She's next week's guest, so be sure to tune in for that.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. So, Kyler, tell us about your crowdfunding campaign. You're using Kickstarter. How is that working, and how are you making it work?
Hello?
Hello?
Kyler?
Sorry, Kyler? I was muted there. My bad. I muted myself during the ad to go get up and grab something, and then I messed. Sorry about that. Anyway, like I was saying, it's not actually Kickstarter. It's Zoop, which is a Kickstarter alternative that's focused on comics and comic related
things. Is that Zoop, did you say?
Z-O-O-P. Yes, okay, in zebra, O-O-P.
Yeah, the way everybody spells Papa. Zoop.
Exactly. But yeah, so Comics in the Kitchen is over on Zoop right now. That's been being in the comics industry, crowdfunding is kind of the main way that I have to make the projects that I want to make, because I can't afford to do small runs of larger or smaller projects, like a single issue that I've done before. I funded that for myself. But, it can be quite a bit of money. And so to do a larger project like this, trying to do a larger run, I need to crowdfund. I need to get the funds from somewhere else. And so Zoop was just kind of, like I said, it was just an alternative platform that I wanted to try out and see how it goes. Currently, we are at $1,770 of $6,000. So we're about at almost 30% with 15 days left. We currently have 15 supporters, or 50, sorry, not 15. And we just hit 50. Jeez, I can't say that right. We just got to 50 supporters today, but yeah, so we're kind of on a steady, slow but steady incline here.
So anybody can be a supporter, right? Anybody in our listening audience,
yeah,
for example, can go find Zoom,
yep.
Zoop, Z-O-O-P. And what do they search for? Is there a name for this project or something? How do they make
and
sure
I'm
they're finding the right thing?
Yeah, I'm putting it on Twitter right now.
Okay. Yeah, you can go there, or it's just let me check real fast. I think it should be on the front page of Zoop. It's actually not on there right now, but you know, it has all the ongoing active campaigns, so you can find it on there. It's called Comics from the Kitchen, and that's, you know, going to be the place to see it and to read about it. But yeah, or you can just go to zoop.gg/c/comicsfromthekitchen. It's not
yeah,
that easy, but still.
I just, it's on, I think go to Twitter and go to the Voice of Indy Twitter account, or just type in hashtag Brushing Group and click on latest, and it's right there. I just shared the link. So.
All
get
right.
That out there.
Appreciate that.
All right.
Oh, I see it. I see it. I see it.
There you go.
All right. And Verwayne, by the way, did clarify that that is his
yeah,
son's
I
work.
Saw that. Yeah.
I just I keep remembering that book club we were in every time I look at this image. I don't know why.
Yeah. All right.
So, Kyler, is there other people that you work with that help things happen, whether it's your own work or what you're doing with Foreign Press or whatever that you want to give a shout out to, give some credit, recommend that people get to know them?
Yeah. There's for my solo project, the main person the only other person I've worked with on those projects has been my colorist, just because that's not something that I'm very good at. I've got a little bit of the color blindness, and so it's just hard to see. It's just a very time-consuming thing, and so I outsource that to a guy named Eros Denardi. He's a creator in Brazil who does coloring, and he's been awesome. He's worked with me on 3 projects now. Just a really great dude. And especially considering that Terminal, my first project, was something that I really couldn't afford much for, he was willing to work for a little bit less, which was a big help to a new creator like me. And I've since, you know, increased, I'm paying him more what he's worth now instead of just, you know, trying to keep getting him. So I appreciate him giving me that first little bit of leeway. But, no, all my projects have been, or not all, sorry, I don't know why I said that. Our 2 projects have been anthologies, so they involve teams of 20 or more people, because each story is done by a different creative team. So some of them are just one person doing the writing and the art. Some of them are a writer and artist team, and some of those teams also have a letterer as well. So, yeah, and like in this anthology, we have some creators are Al Cortina and Amy Noseworthy, Dan Mangella, Sophia Hickerson. Sophia is one I always like to shout out because she had a really cute story. Plus, she just graduated from SCAD, which is the Savannah College of Art and Design. And so I'm really just impressed by her work and excited to see where that leads for her, because I think she has a really far ways that she can go with this. But and then as far as everything else, it's mostly just Foreign Press Comics. My little label is just, it's just me. I'm the only person running the show. And so, you know, I guess if I have to give a shout out to her, shout out my girlfriend. But now she usually helps me a lot with, you know, making little decisions like, hey, does this tweet sound okay? Or how does this email look? Or, you know, which logo should I pick? Or which font goes better for this cookbook? Was one of the most recent things that I asked her. I sent her like 6 or 7 images that had the same thing, but like each one was a different font, and she picked the one that she thought was the best. So, you know, she helped me with little things like that. So I guess shout out to her if I have to.
Those make a big difference. They keep us from going over the cliff.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, we're going to roll one more commercial here, and then we got our last couple of questions for Kyler Merrill, comic creator and comic publisher, and we'll be back.
Best-selling author Gwen M. Plano presents The Culmination, A New Beginning, the final book in the Contracts thriller series. In the first book, co-penned by best-selling author John W. Howell, the Earth is threatened with a catastrophic event, and Heaven's leadership intervenes with extraordinary measures to ensure the survival of the planet. In Book 2, The Choice, a confidential team uncovers a traitorous conspiracy that has as its goal world domination. The pressing question is, who can be trusted and who cannot? The culmination, A New Beginning, brings the Contract thriller trilogy to a close. After an assassination attempt on an Air Force base in Northern California, tensions mount. Heads of state meet to craft a denuclearization agreement. The meetings between these nuclear powers take a murderous turn. A nefarious conspiracy reemerges and leads the characters into the heart of the Middle East, where they encounter the unexpected and find a reason for hope. Grab your copy now of The Culmination, A New Beginning by Gwen M. Plano. Available worldwide in hardcover, paperback, and all major ebook formats. The Culmination is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
All right. The Culmination. Yeah, that's another one that's by a good friend of the show, Gwen M. Plano. So get out there and show her some support. Kyler, what kind of advice would you give to somebody who's just starting to get this idea about maybe creating their own comics and getting involved in that?
The first thing I would say is just do it. Pull a Nike and just do it. Because kind of, like, for me, the main thing that was holding me back was, you know, oh, will people like what I do? Will anybody actually buy my work? And, you know, I've kind of just realized that, you know, like I said before, you know, someone's going to like it and other people aren't. And so just don't worry about, you know, will it sell? Will people like it? You know, are people going to hate me? Because I'll give a, you know, some sad but true advice. If you're just starting out, you're probably not big enough for anybody to actually tell you they dislike your work. In my eyes, if someone tells you that they dislike your work, it means you're doing something right, and you're, you know, I mean, people are taking notice, and that means that you're getting somewhere. So I wouldn't, if you're just starting, I wouldn't worry about anybody, you know, doing it just because you're, you know, you're not somewhere where people are going to really take note of that yet. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just kind of the way things are. And the next thing for anyone wanting to make comics specifically is there's a group out there called the Comic Jam. I found them through Reddit, which, you know, may or may not be around for much longer. We'll see how that goes. But there's a group called the Comic Jam. If anybody's listening and wants to be a part of it, send me a DM. I will hook you up. But it runs through a Discord server, and it's and we have a they have a website called thecomicjam.com, I think, or you can find it somewhere. But they do one page comics on a different theme every week. So the whole group votes on a theme. And if you're a writer, you can write a script for that theme. If you're an artist, you'll get paired up with a script to write. And then sometimes they need letterers as well. So if you want to work on your comic art skills, even if it's, you don't want to color, if you just want to do black and white, they'll let you come in and do that. Or you can just come in and just be a letterer. You can just be a writer. You can, if you're like a writer who's like, actually, you know, I want to try my hand at drawing something, you can totally say, hey, I want to be, you just send them a message, say, hey, I want to try art, try to draw a story this week. They'll let you draw a story. And so that's kind of the place that I started cutting my teeth in terms of just my comic skills, because I started doing that as an artist. And that just let me see, you know, the way that other people write scripts and the way that other people just make comics. And this just also, it let me meet other people, because there's the first collaborator that I ever had on there. I collaborated with twice and twice in a row. And turns out, just this is just completely by chance, he's also from Oklahoma. And then I asked him to be a part of, to be a co-editor on my last anthology, Fletcher Cross. He's also the editor on my series, Outlaw Country. And so Derek Crow, I don't know if I mentioned that or not. But anyway, that's the Comic Jam, I think, is the best place to go, because it's just one page a week. You know, it's not like you have to do a lot. And even if you want to just pop in for 1 week and say, I'm going to do something this week, and then hey, this isn't for me, they're not going to hold it against you. Or if you want to drop out and not say anything for 6 months and then pop in and say, hey, I want to do another story, they're not going to question you. It's just, and I think it's just kind of the most accepting place for that I've noticed in terms of being able to make comics and being able to make work with some great people.
Man, that's all a right. Terrific opportunity. That's not only is it an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to gain experience, but to start racking up some credits, even if it's just contributor credits.
Exactly. And that's kind of the other big thing that I didn't mention is, like you said, it lets you build out that portfolio, because especially if you're new to comics, especially if you're a writer or if you're anything actually, because, if you're a writer, you're forced to write on their theme. So you are forced to write in things, a genre that you might not always write in. And that's going to make you become a better writer. With art, it's going to force you to, one, learn how to work with someone else, but also to, again, draw on a genre that you don't know. And same for lettering as well. Like, people might think that my lettering is just like copying and pasting words onto a page. And part of it is, but it's also, me trying to make sure that my text boxes are, styled in a way that kind of fits the story. Pick a font that goes with my story. And it just kind of, it's all just about learning to work in different styles and expand your repertoire as a creator.
Wow. Love
cool.
it.
Cool. Now, you started to say your editors, the guy that you have editing, you started to say his name, and you pull back. You can say his name. You can give him credit, man. That's
oh,
cool.
I did. I'm sorry if that didn't go through. Yeah, his name is Derek Crow.
Derek Crow. Okay.
Like I said, he's from here in Oklahoma. He's just a really great dude. He's the editor on two of our projects right now. So plus we did have another project of his that we were also publishing, a webcomic called Fatality, but that since had to be on hiatus due to the passing of the artist. Anyway, Derek's a great dude. If anybody he's a writer. He's also a writer as well as an editor. So hit him up. He's awesome.
All right. Now, how can listeners contact you? Social media, blog, website, Facebook, Instagram?
I'm on all the social medias. You can just look up Foreign Press Comics. Is usually the best thing to find out about anything Foreign Press related, whether that's my work or work through a publishing for someone else. And that's on Twitter. It's at F Press Comics, and everywhere else it's Foreign Press Comics. Twitter just has a character limit that gets in the way. And then the other place would be foreignpresscomics.com, which is just our website, at which point you can sign up for our email list, which we're currently on the way to 100 subscribers. And when I hit 100 email subscribers, I have a 54, I think, page comic that I did when I first started in college that has never seen the light of day that I'm going to put out there to those people. And then there's some other short comics that will be coming their way. And, I do discounts and things like that on my email.
Oh, cool.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Kyler Merrill, and we wish you the best of luck with your comic work and your publishing enterprise and your working with other people, helping bring up a new generation, although you're part of that new generation as well. I love an interview where all the cultural references are from this century.
There you go, yeah.
When I'm a couple of weeks from turning 65 myself. But yeah, it sounds like you're having a lot of fun. It's certainly a growing opportunity in the literary world, pairing the visuals and the stories and stuff like that. So cool. Consider us your fans. And when you got some more stuff out, let us know. We'll promote it in the newsletter and try to get you back on the show sometime.
All right. Sweet. I appreciate that.
All right. Yeah, so next week, we do have Najma Thomas, author of As We Remember, about the woman's core of Beaufort, South Carolina. Najma Thomas will be our guest next week.
And the following week, we've got Macy Lewis. Don't know a whole lot about Macy, but we're going to all find out together what she's all about. And after that,
Alicia Butcher Earhart. That, again, somebody we have not published, so we're just starting to be familiar with her work, and we're looking forward to talking to her and learning more.
And following that is a return of our good friend C.S. Boyack, Craig Boyack. He will be in. He's got a new book out that's doing quite well. He's getting some really good reviews on it. And he's always a fun interview. So be sure to tune in for that one.
Yeah. So we look forward to seeing you next week. Remember, our guest name is Tyler Merrill. His company is Foreign Press Comics. He's got some cool stuff out there. Subscribe to his newsletter. He's working on 100 subscribers. You could be number 100 that gets that comic released for the rest of us.
Yeah, and get over to Twitter and follow that link to Comics from the Kitchen on Zoop and help support him there. I'm going to put that stuff up on Facebook and some other places as well, too, after the show. So get over there and look for those links.
And as always, thank you to everybody who participated, who called in, who talked to us on Twitter, who helped spread the word, and basically who helped support indie authors, artists, musicians, and the people who are out there just trying to make it happen. We'll see you all next week.
See everybody next week. Thanks, all Tyler. Right.
Thanks,
bye.
Tyler.
Thank you.
What drives a man to spend 26 years performing night after night? To persevere through a stifling tour bus, bad food, strange women, flared tempers, a plane nearly blown from the sky. Just how did that troubled military brat with a dream claw his way from dirt floor dive bar shows to the world's biggest stages? Aviator, author, and Country Music Hall of Fame drummer Mark Herndon lived that dream playing with Alabama, one of the most popular and celebrated bands of all time. He learned some hard lessons about people and life, the music industry, the accolades and awards, how easy it is to lose it all, and how hard it is to survive, to embrace sobriety, to live even one more day. Herndon's poignant memoir offers a tale at once cautionary and inspirational, delightful and heartbreaking, funny yet deeply personal. From innocence to rebellion to acceptance, can a man still flourish when the spotlight dims? Are true forgiveness, redemption, and serenity even possible when the powerful say everything you achieved somehow doesn't even count? That you're not who you and everyone who matters thought you were? Find all this and more in Mark's remarkable memoir, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in paperback and ebooks, and now in the keepsake dust-jacketed hardcover edition demanded by true fans. Mark Herndon refuses to slow down. So look back, look ahead, and join him on the trip. He's taking the high road.
Check out FreshInkGroup.com for everything publishing. Meet scores of authors. Discover hundreds of great books. Plus audiobooks, podcasts, videos, trailers, free stories, free manuscript evaluations, and more. That's FreshInkGroup.com.
You've been a part of Voice of Indie, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at FreshInkGroup.com and be sure to hashtag FreshInkGroup.